Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today, we have back with us Tom Rutkowski, who's president of Innovative Retirement Strategies, and we'll be discussing how to use life insurance to invest in real estate. Tom, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me back.
Hey, so I think this is quite a unique topic because I think a lot of people are interested in investing in real estate for decades and decades. We hear that's a wonderful investment. And I think a lot of people have life insurance, but then maybe they're kind of furrowing their brow going, use life insurance to invest in real estate. So give us the 30,000 foot overview of what you do to help your clients in that realm.
Well, I got the idea back when I first got my insurance license. This was about 9 years ago. And two things I realized pretty quickly was, one, I could design a policy that had a tremendous amount of cash value right away, a maximum overfunded life insurance policy. And two, that you could take loans against the policy. And those loans were available immediately with some companies. And I just thought to myself, I wonder if I could, run my money through a life insurance policy and then use it for investing in real estate, that take loans against the policy to invest in real estate. And I built a spreadsheet to kind of prove the concept to myself. And lo and behold, it works. You're literally putting your money to work in two places at one time. You've got the cash value of the life insurance policy that, never leaves the policy. It's right. Still there continuing to grow and capture interest or dividends. And then you've got, a loan at, say, 5%. And whatever you do with that 5% money is going to add value on top of the cash value. And then there's the tax advantage because you're not paying tax on the entire investment that you make with the money. You're only paying it on, you're expensing the interest. So now you've got less tax that you're paying. So it's really a great way to slowly, methodically build wealth, more wealth over your lifetime than if you just simply took your money and invested directly in life insurance. Real estate or whatever it is that you're doing.
So I'm listening to that through the eyes and ears of someone just hearing about this for the first time. So a couple questions come to my mind would be when you say use life insurance to invest in real estate, are you talking about the down payment for a piece of real estate and then you go to the bank for the 80%? Or are you saying you're so flush with cash that you could buy a piece of real estate cash, but why do that, put it into a life insurance policy, and then do the loan that you're mentioning?
To the extent that you are going to use your own money to do anything in real estate, you can use leverage the cash value of the life insurance policy to do that. So the answer to your question is all of the above.
Is either way.
Sure. Some of my clients, they use the cash as a down payment and then finance it with a bank for the other, 60, 70, 80%, depending on how much the bank offers. Or some people, do other things like invest in real estate syndications. They buy tax liens. They'd use it for their, just a place to hold their cash while they're waiting for their next deal to happen.
Yeah. And then, so
typically, and then they're ready to go when the deal happens.
Over the years, when you have your mortgage payment and you're making your payments, then you can write off your mortgage interest. So in this scenario, how does that write-off change? And again, we're not CPAs or giving tax advice, but what have you seen when you get someone that says, oh, well, my mortgage payment, I get a statement at the end of the year that I can write off this much, but if you're doing it in this direction with life insurance, do you still get some of those same benefits or is it different?
That's an interesting question, and it comes up quite often, and I've even got videos dealing with just that question. So you can take a loan directly from the insurance company and use that. Mm-hmm. However, life insurance policy loans are considered personal loans, so the interest is not technically tax deductible.
Right.
But what most of my clients do is they'll work with a third-party bank who will give them an assignment of collateral against the policy's cash values.
Interesting.
Or give them a loan with secured by an assignment of collateral.
Okay.
And that way there, the life insurance policy never goes into the business. The loan is made directly to the investor for their business or to the investor's LLC or corporation that they may have. And then any kind of personal guarantee is provided with that assignment of collateral against the policy.
And in that scenario, you're not borrowing from the life insurance policy. You're borrowing from a bank who is collateralizing the loan with that life insurance policy. So then probably potentially you could have some tax deductibility, but because that's a unique, creative way to do it. Cause, and a lot of banks aren't going to play that game. So maybe you, when you're working with your clients, would say, okay, here's some options and here's, you know, one way to do it. Here's some banks to here's what to ask for. Here's to see how that would work out. But that's really unique. And I think that a lot of people, are always watching for creative ways from the days of Robert Allen back in the '80s, you know, creative financing and creative ways to buy real estate. This is one that I think a lot of people don't think of. So life insurance sounds really powerful to use in some of these options. You mentioned an interest rate. We don't want to dwell on that because rates change on the mortgage world and on the life insurance loan world. But have you seen that typically the interest rates are lower through the life insurance policy than what you would get in a mortgage transaction?
I would say yes and no. I mean, life insurance policy loans are typically tied to the Moody's corporate bond yield for all companies, whereas lending rates are typically indexed or linked to the prime rate. So right now the prime rate is rather high.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's late November, you know, 2022, and rates are pretty high. Some insurance companies offer indexed loans that are set at a particular rate, like say 5%. For the life of the policy. So those are, I imagine, are going to become very popular over the next, well, hopefully a few months, but you know, if these rates stay high for an extended period of time, I mean, that might be the new norm.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point.
But the, you know,
so does
5% compared to 7%. Oh,
go ahead. That could be a good gap. You know, a nice gap. And the other thing is when you are making payments back to your life insurance policy, you're taking money out of your left pocket, putting it into your right pocket. So it's kind of staying all in house, so to speak.
Okay. So let's talk about that for a minute. Cause when you take a policy loan, you are not borrowing from your policy. Yeah. You know, that's a lot of people's common misunderstanding. You know, I'm taking money out of my policy. The insurance companies are required by statute to make loans to their policy owners secured by the cash value of the policy. Secured by the cash value of the policy. It doesn't say you're taking from your own cash value.
Right. Okay.
So it's really new money that, you know, it's the insurance company's money and you owe them that money back. So if you die, you know, the loans are paid off from the death benefit. And then your beneficiaries get whatever's left over.
Got it. So similar to the bank where you said they would collateralize a new loan on the, you know, life insurance policy. In this case, if you're getting a loan from the life insurance company, they're giving you a loan. They're collateralizing it with the cash value of the policy that you currently have.
Exactly.
But I guess it's kind of
And once people understand that, yeah. they can get over a huge internal hurdle to understanding this concept, because it's hard to, if you're thinking that you're using your own money to do this, that, you know, it's like, where's the advantage of doing it then?
Yeah.
Right. Because you're just taking it from here, but no, the life insurance cash value never leaves the policy. So it continues to earn dividends just as it would have, even though you have the loans outstanding.
Yeah.
So again, whatever you do with that leveraged money is icing on the cake.
And then are you locked in, scheduled into specific payments? You know, you mentioned if someone died and the loan is outstanding, then it's deducted from the death benefit or cash value. But, you know, if it's just a regular real estate transaction, are you then now going, okay, well, I have to make a payment of X to my insurance policy to maintain that loan?
That's a really good question, because the payments of the interest on a bank loan must be made or you're going to be in default.
Yeah.
But interestingly, in the statutes that require insurance companies to make policy loans, there's a second paragraph that follows the first one requiring the loans secured by the cash value that states, if the policy owner doesn't pay the interest on the loan, the insurance company will loan the money to pay the interest to the policy owner and tack that amount onto the loan balance. So there's no requirement to repay that loan whatsoever. I mean, you can leave it out there forever. But if you leave it out there forever, I mean, you're going to have a compounding loan balance, because at the end of the second year, you're going to owe interest on the amount you borrowed plus the amount you borrowed to pay the interest.
Yeah.
So you definitely, when you're using a life insurance policy for investing in real estate, you definitely want to treat the policy loan interest as a business expense.
Yeah.
And pay it.
But you know that scenario you just described is there for a safety net emergency. If, you know, maybe you bought a piece of rental property and tenants didn't pay for 2 months while the new tenant was coming in, maybe that would be like an emergency way that you can go, okay, I'm going to skip this month or whatever, but not use it as a general practice.
Exactly.
Good.
It offers a tremendous amount of flexibility and freedom.
So when we're talking about life insurance, I know that a lot of people think life insurance, got it, check, you know, don't talk to me, run, you know, you're a life insurance salesperson. So there's a lot of different types of life insurance. Does it matter what kind of life insurance you get to be able to do these things we're talking about?
Well, it's got to be a permanent life insurance policy. So no term. But you can definitely use either whole life or universal life. And then in universal life, I obviously prefer indexed universal life to a true universal life.
And that's because it gives you better returns or flexibility, or what's the main benefit of that?
Well, the easiest way to understand that is, you know, both whole life and IUL are the same under the hood. I mean, the insurance company has the same cost of insurance, and the cash value is invested in the company's reserves, right? It's they're investing it in bonds and treasuries and mortgage-backed security and all the things that insurance companies do. And at the end of the year, that those reserves or general fund, you know, earns interest from all those investments. And in the case of a whole life, you know, the net amount of the earnings that they have is credited to each policy as a dividend. And in the case of an indexed universal life, they take that money that they would have paid you as a dividend, and they go out to the index options markets, and they're really just hedging with that money in the option space to try and capture as much movement in the market as they can get. So your principal is never at risk, but you can also capture some movement in the market up to a certain point because of the options, underlying options.
Upside.
So, you know, you introduce a variability in returns because it could be zero or it could be 10, which would be more unheard of in the life insurance dividend space, right? But over the long run, the whole goal of doing that is to capture a premium over what they would have paid you had they paid you a dividend.
And the key point there is it won't be less than zero. So you can't lose your principal. And that's a lot of investments vehicles out there you hear of, like, oh, the market shifted, so I lost a big chunk of money. In this scenario, you're not going to lose any money, but the upside dividend might be really, really good or flat. Well, that removes a whole lot of risk.
Exactly. And after just, you know, a few years, 4 or 5 years, you've got enough years of experience behind you that the returns are going to be fairly predictable. I mean, you can still have zeros, but when you look back at your overall return since this policy started, it's going to be positive, and it's likely to be higher than what you would have had you had a dividend.
Yeah. So I think a lot of times people might, you know, go, well, you know, I was looking through my paperwork and I've got some kind of life insurance policy and it says whole life and I'm good to go, right? Can I use that for an upcoming real estate project? So do I need to get a brand new one that's set up a different way, or can I use the one that I currently have?
The answer is it depends.
Yeah.
If you've got a whole life, oftentimes you're very limited, because, you know, most people buy life insurance for the death benefit protection.
Okay.
So they're paying a very small premium, you know, as much cash as the insurance company needs to honor that policy. And the policies don't build up a lot of cash value. On the other hand, what I'm talking about for this is what's called a maximum overfunded policy. So we're at the legal maximum that you could pay for a given amount of death benefits. So most whole lives, an existing policy can't get there. But in a universal life, the client just needs to look into their policy, their illustration, and find out, or call the insurance company, just find out what is the absolute max that I can put into this policy.
Okay.
Because typically that policy will allow for overfunding up to the guideline level premium.
And it all depends. So call the current policy you have. But I guess here's the big takeaway that I'm hearing. If someone listens to this going, wait a minute, in using life insurance to invest in real estate for all of these benefits you're mentioning, it's not just your off the shelf, you know, over the counter type life insurance policy. It has to be a certain type, set up a certain way with overfunding, this, that, and the other, all these things you're talking about. And you can't just go Google it and go click, send me this, and here we go. This is something that maybe someone like yourself would need to understand the goals of the client, guide them in making the right decision, make sure they understand everything moving forward. So it really is, sounds exciting, but it also sounds like something you can't just go out there and DIY it.
No, especially not in the case of Index Universal Life. I mean, the policies need to have certain riders or requirements. I mean, and if you take a look at the universe of universal life, there are like four companies that have the right mix of riders and loan options to make this work for me. So four out of the hundreds of policies that are out there. So yeah, if you're not talking to the right person or to the right company, you run the risk of having a policy that's not optimized for this. You know, so, whole life, you know, is more, I mean, with whole life, I think most companies are fairly close in terms of rating and security. So it really comes down to which one is paying the highest dividend. But there's much more, you know, much more open to you.
And then the other kind, where it's indexed to maybe a market or something like you were mentioning that way, where you have maybe some potential for high upside, but yet still you're not going to lose your principal, then that's a whole different type of permanent life insurance. Still is permanent life insurance, but then that kind of has some new things that people should be considering and understanding. And that's what you would walk them through and kind of assess, kind of go, hey, let's talk about risk tolerance. You know, would you like the chance for really high upside? But what if it really is tied to an index that, you know, has some volatility and you get zero? You're not going to lose your money.
Exactly.
But those are the kind of things that you would talk them through, walk them through, all for the purpose of using this unique vehicle for real estate investing, whether it's borrowing for the down payment or borrowing against the policy for the full property. It just could open up some exciting doors. Let's wrap up with this example or with this question. What's an example of maybe someone you've seen use this, or maybe yourself? What are some, you know, give us a thumbnail sketch of how this worked and what they experienced in using this in a transaction.
I've got hundreds of clients and they're doing everything that we've talked about. You know, some are using the money for down payments to acquire property. Some are using it to buy into syndications. Some use it as their little bank for fix and flips. So, I mean, are you looking for a numerical example, like just how it's more profitable?
Not necessarily. I was just thinking more in terms of, is this limited to, well, you can only do this for single family or investment, but it really doesn't matter because it's, you're accessing money from your own quote unquote bank, which is your life insurance policy, and you're buying whatever property you're looking at. So it could be, you know, a storage facility for that matter.
Exactly.
Neat. Well, I think this is super exciting, Tom, because I think a lot of times people don't realize what's right under their noses. And this is a strategy that's been around for hundreds of years using permanent life insurance. But this is now just a use that people might not have thought of before. So if someone is listening and thinking, how would this work for me? What's the best way they can reach out and learn more from you and maybe connect and see how that could benefit them?
You can do a YouTube search on the double play, or just do a YouTube search on life insurance and real estate investing. And I usually rank number one.
Excellent. Well,
My website is innovativeretirementstrategies.com.
Perfect. And I will make sure that is in the show notes. And I thank you for coming on. It's been a real pleasure talking with you today.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.